Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 55th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Martin Sangoyo, who came to Maine from South Sudan in 2000. He is now running a language translation business called New England Interpreters Service with 35 on-call interpreters at 500 Forest Avenue in Portland. Welcome, Martin, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure on this lovely day. We even have the window open in the studio. You might even get to hear traffic going by.
Absolutely, it is.
So, Martin, can you take a minute and carry us back to South Sudan in the 70s and 80s when you were growing up with your family of 16? And I wonder what it looked like. And I wonder if you still think it looks like that today.
Well, thank you for asking me this question. Going back to my family, we were a big family. And we have nice time. Our parents, they're very good parents. They raise us in a very faithful way. And we live like a daycare. Mom and daddy, sometimes they have to make sure that we have enough food and shelter. And they dedicate to send us to school, though we are a big family. And some of us manage to continue to the highest level. Some of us hand out by just finished middle school due to the financial. But at least we thank God for them. They managed to raise us.
How did they make the money to send you to school?
We all have to go to the farmer, through the farmer, and everyone have to work. And that is all.
So you were subsistence farmers, or did you raise crops for export?
We raise crops to sell it just local, no export.
Oh, I see. Yeah. What kinds of things did you grow?
Cassava, the African favorite food, rice, and simsim, and pina, and corns, and orange.
Oranges?
Yeah.
Nice. So you had a grove of orange trees?
Yes.
How lovely. Really rich soil then.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Mm. And your parents were raising food for 14 children.
Absolutely.
And you all went to school.
We all went to school.
That's beautiful. They must be proud of you.
It is.
So when we talk about school, did the schools where you grew up look at all like our schools here?
No.
What were they like?
As this school is a very local, built with the grass, and as well as our house. We didn't have electricity. There was no any advanced house. We live in a very grass mud house. There's no electricity. So we have to use the local lamps with the oil. And as well as our school, there was no any electricity. And some of us, we would write in the sand. From first grade to second grade, you may not have access to have a paper, but from third grade, yes, you start to have a paper, have paperwork. So our school was very local until now. And I managed to go back and help the school. And the last years I took the school bus. It is now there.
There's a school bus?
Yes.
On unpaved roads or paved?
No, unpaved roads. Yes. Very tough road.
Still very rural where you're from?
Yeah.
What was your town named?
Ezo.
Ezo.
Ezo is located in Western Equatoria State. Is a very great farmer land forest. And there's no sunny. It's not cold. The weather, it is very stable like today.
Mm. Just kind of perfect all year round?
Absolutely.
Lucky you.
Thank you.
So the houses and the school were made out of mud bricks, is that right?
They remain, but now they're a little bit advanced.
More like bit. Cinder blocks now?
Yes.
Bricks,
yes.
Or something?
Bricks, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the grass patch.
The World Division helped to build some schools, but they still need more. and the community around tried to support. I'm one of them. Last year, I took the book and school bus and went and distributed to, through the help from Mercy Hospital. I managed to get some books and school bus and take it to my hometown, to my school.
You took the school bus there.
You took
a school bus and gave it to them.
Yes. And I took a lot of school books for the kids. I distributed it across the South Sudan, not only.
Wow. That must have been richly meaningful for you to be able to take that back.
It is. I'm blessed. I give thanks to those great support I received from Mercy Hospital and other local NGO also across the state, as well as the root cellar.
Yes, the root cellar too. Yeah. And NGOs are like nonprofits for us, right?
Yes.
Yeah, great. What do you wish all Mainers knew or understood about South Sudan?
South Sudan is one of the greatest nations, Sudan as all. One of the blessing country, and but the politics is the things make us look a little bit embarrassed now. But South Sudan is a very nice country, a great people, and the people with the 63 tribe dialect, but they meaning to unite it and work together and live together with harmony and peace. Just the politician who try to make it hard for all of us.
Yes,
South Sudan is a great country. As I'm telling you, and more Americans, they're living in South Sudan across the bushes, helping some people. So South Sudan is one of the best countries, and it's supposed to be, but just the war and the politics is the only thing now is going to make it difficult forever.
It has complicated life profoundly.
It is. It mm-hmm. is complicated.
What languages did your family speak when you were at home when you were young?
My mother tongue language, which is the Azande. Azande is the big tribe. They was occupy big land. But because they wasn't colonized by the British, so therefore they have to come up with a way to divide them. So they divide them into the three countries, Central Africa, Congo, and Sudan. And then now in Sudan, we are actually the second largest
country
in a community in South Sudan. But because the Azande people, they are very wise, very respectful, and they respect what they call human rights. So they're not famous because they're not getting fight. Now, today, if you want to be famous, you have to go start something, either fighting. So that's why we're not... More people don't know. They don't know about the Azande, but they're the majority in South Sudan.
So you spoke Azande. When did you start learning another language?
I started learning another language first in Congo. I was born in Kenya, Nakuru, during the first Anyenye one, they call it. And then we have to move. My parents have to move to Congo. And then we moved to Congo, and then I started my first grade in Congo. And we used to write on something called ardoise. It's a piece of board, you write on it. And then from there, we moved back to South Sudan. So my first study in school was, I don't remember, I don't want to lie. But we started school in South Sudan in 1966.
And school was taught in Azande?
Azande and English.
And English.
Yes. And South Sudan is majority all English speaker.
And then when did you end up learning Arabic?
We were having problem with the Arabic. So my parent decided that he was a very wise man. He said he has to send, after middle school, he said, I have to go to the north to start Arabic because all the factory, everything is there. So he sent me to start in Arabic.
Ah, strategic.
Yes.
To make sure his son understood the language of the politics.
Yes.
Smart man.
Thank
Good
you.
Job, Daddy.
Yeah, he is.
And who knew you'd end up being a translator for all these languages?
Who knew? God knew.
What were some of the things you learned about life from your parents that you've carried through in your life so far from your original home to today?
My daddy always used to tell me that listen to someone who tell you the truth. And most likely, the people who tell the truth, you may not like them. You may think that they're mean, but in the end, you will learn from them down the road. And my mom always tell me about the woman that your daughter, don't yell at her. If you yell at her, it's the same like you're yelling at me. And don't swell at her. That means you're swelling at your own mom. So I respect my mom, the mom, and mom. Young, oldest, you have to respect to them. So she's usually say the word Adessa, which means all women are one.
Adessa?
Adessa. Adessa. That means all women, they are one.
And so an injury to one is an injury to all.
Yes.
Lovely. How did you and your wife meet? You were married and had children before you even came to the United States.
Yeah. My wife, she is one of my cousins. Not a close cousin, but we grew up together. I'm older than her. And I was in the north, studying at vacation school. And then my family decided that I have to marry her. And then I went back to South Sudan. We get married in 1989. And the other girl, they used to yell and say, you were saying she's your sister, your cousin. Now you get married, your relative. I say, no, she's because we just close relative, we close family. We live in the same area. So it doesn't mean she's my real sister.
I think this is very common, especially in Central Africa, right, where you call people cousins and sisters and brothers who are just dear to you.
Yeah, but they're not she's not in my clan. She's in a different clan, so we can marry her. But because we're living very close family, going to school together, people
like
think
cousins.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Did you have any special traditions at your wedding that you could tell us about?
Traditional is kind of similar to here, but the only thing is people have to get happy, have to do their own traditional dance, and in the end, in hand up at the church, and hand up with the same part. People were gathering, we have a lot of fun. So
that sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then you both grew up in the same village, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You didn't have to have people coming from far away.
No.
Just the whole village celebrated together.
Not together, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Martin Sangoyo, who is originally from South Sudan. He owns an interpretation business and has a family and is a member of the South Sudanese community right here in Maine. So, Martin, can you tell us about how you came to operate your own business?
Yeah. I came to this country as a refugee, and I have my own dream, and consider myself one of the blessing members of the Southern Sudanese community. Because the day I arrive here, I get welcomed by American society, believer, non-believer, and everybody welcome me. And again, I spent less amount of time, and then I start working. And as well as doing the same job I'm doing now, translation, I was helping through the Catholic Church. And I find out that one of my friend for one of the agents, I don't want to mention the name, and she suggests that I'm a smart man. I should be able to start my own business. I tell her, how? And then she said, you can do it. In America, everything is possible. Someone like you have enough skill. The way I'm telling her that I work in Sudanese French Bank, I was translating there for the people, and also I work in Egypt helping the refugees through their paperwork, through their interview, and I came here to start working within 13 days, I should be able to do something for myself. And unfortunately, she helped me through all this process. It didn't take me long. Until 2005, the business was up and running. It was a small...
So you came in 2000, and by 2005, you were running your own business.
Absolutely. Yes.
After doing a little bit of translation here and there,
yeah,
along the way. Starting, did you say 13 days in, you had a job?
13 days, yes.
Yeah, that's not wasting much time there.
Absolutely. I have a great support here from different community. In my case, worker, she was the number one.
Was that through Catholic Charities?
Through Catholic Charities, yes.
And so right away as a refugee, you had a caseworker and were helped to find meaningful work.
Absolutely.
Wow. So can you help us with a few more steps along the way? Because I wonder how you even get your head around what it would take to start a business with taxes and things like that. Was there someone that helped you with that process?
Absolutely. I always asking for help. And when I started, I was there in the middle of the field, but I was surrounded by experts who were really, really willing to help. I had my friend for some federal agents. He came all the way somewhere to help me. And have my friends through my co-worker. I have people bookkeeping from around the state. They come to help me. And they make my business look more professional. And I have worked with Mercy. I learned a lot from them. And Mercy Hospital also try their best to keep me run the professional business by telling me what my dad used to tell me. They always tell me, do this, you'll get the outcome. And I followed their footsteps, and it helped me a lot.
Sounds like you did one really important thing, and you asked for help.
Absolutely.
And then people lined up to help you.
Absolutely. Because you don't want to mess up with the government. You do good with the government, you'll be free.
Right. Yeah. Like paying your taxes.
Paying your taxes. Doing
following codes.
Following the code. You can do this by yourself. They're even a Native American, they can do it by yourself, except through the expert.
Yes,
who
we learned, all need support.
Who trained, who went to school for the issue of tax, and some people who are accounting, you have to rely on them.
That's right. That's right. You can always access the Small Business Association. They can help you. There are groups that help women start businesses. There are all kinds of help centers.
I'm on the top of them now. They're helping me.
That's wonderful. They're
the people who are backing me up all the time.
And so what's your hope for your business over the next 5 to 10 years?
My hope for the business now is to establish a good relationship with an existing government, exist customer, and to utilize a new customer through this. I want to extend my business to the level where I can be able to support myself and support others, internal or national, because I'm still have a family struggle to go to school, and I'm still have my kids here also struggle to go to school. So I want to see my business in the next level. By 2020, I want to see myself in next level, if God willing.
I hope it happens. Did you...
Americans say cross your finger.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
That'll work for sure.
Yeah.
Did it take you and your family about the amount of time you would have imagined to get established, or did it take longer than you might have figured it would?
Absolutely. It looked like it didn't take me that long. I was expect that it will take me long, but unfortunately, it didn't take me that long. I hope my expectation that it will take us 5 or 6 months even to start working and to start to get to know people, but it didn't take me that long. I'm telling you, the day I arrived here, it took me like 2 days to get to know friends. There was one lady, she still called me her son. It took me 3 days. I have to go to adult to learn how to fill the W-2 form, and then also how to apply for job. So in my way, I find one of the faithful lady. She considered me her son until today. So she took me to school, and from there, it didn't take me long to finish the, to accomplish what I'm expected to get it done within 2 or 3 months. So my wife, it take her long to adapt, but for me, it didn't take me that long. And
what was the difference for you and your wife?
The difference for us is a little bit culture, weather. We come from September, and then the snow, we haven't seen the snow, we always see the news. So when we tried to see the snow running, it was a little bit difficult for us.
Totally. Yeah. It's not what you expected at all. Your story that you told me the other day included walking in your sandals in the cold weather, and someone pulled over.
Yes.
And said, do you need some help?
Yes. This is the same lady. Her name is Pat Ariana. She was the board of director from Jerusalem. And I was walking. That's the day I was walking to learn how to fill the W-2. And she saw me walking, and it is too cold. I'm wearing the sandal. And she realized that the way I'm walking, the way I'm looking, I'm not from here.
You must be new.
Yes, you must be new. And then she comes, say, where am I going? I say, I'm going to school. And she told me, are you sure you're going to school? I say, yes. I said, yes. But I was thinking, why? I was here from an orientation that you don't have to get right with a stranger. But I looked at her. I said, this lady, she's not a stranger. She's a faithful person.
You trusted her.
Yes,
right
I trust her. And then she gave me a ride. And she said, what time you finish? I tell her the time. And unbelievable, this lady, she went to the work and come back on time to pick me up. So that is my first day. And then she, from there, she established a good relationship with me until today, until I find my best way to educate myself even here.
She's been a support along.
A good supporter for me.
That is a kind of lucky entrance, right? To just have a fairy godmother appear.
Absolutely.
And drive you to school your first time.
She's in Florida, and she wants me to bring all the kids there.
To visit.
And this summer, to visit her.
How lovely.
She is.
I wish that for everybody. I wish somebody would just stop and reach out a helping hand.
Absolutely.
For everybody out there that's new.
Yeah, it will make a difference.
There's so much to learn.
She make a difference in my life.
Yeah, I bet she did.
Yep.
Do you have any wise words to offer new arrivals to Maine now? What do you think was the most important thing you learned along the way about American culture and being a refugee immigrant here?
Being a refugee and immigrant is something you don't want to go through it. The word refugees is a very tough word. As you can see today in the news. So if you stay in a house, suddenly something come, you lost whatever you lost. If you're not faithful for yourself, you may go through a lot of trauma. You have to be strong. When you come to America, you have to be strong and have a hope. Don't kill your hope. And have something called self-determination. Search for a job and ask for help. If you ask for help, you will find it. And if you don't ask, if you just stay home, the opportunity cannot fall in the sky. You have to look for the people and ask people around you. Don't feel that I'm not speaking English. My English people are going to laugh at me. No. Go there and speak out. The American, there's a people who have a very good heart. They're looking for someone like you to help you. When you come new, you have to ask for help and look for work. And welfare is good, but it's not good for a young man or a young lady like you. Where there's the opportunity, you can work and earn money. I received the food stamp or any assistance for 4 months.
It was a bridge from being brand new to when you
for
can
4
take
months
care of
because I was earning good money from Catholic Church and earning good money for my job. I was working as a forklift driver for the company. They pay me in weekend, they pay me 2 days. I work 12 hours. They counted for me 24 hours. So the money I was making more than the 800 they was giving for me has taken off. So they cut all this thing off until today. So don't kill your hope. It is good when you come new to ask for assistance. But
yes, totally understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's great advice. And it's kind of what you had said earlier. That's how you built your business. You asked for help.
Yeah.
And that's what your dad said to do.
Yeah.
Bringing an important family tradition forward.
Absolutely.
Martin, you are a warm man, working hard to provide a valuable service to our community. Thank you for your willingness to come on New Mainers Speak and share your thoughts and experiences with us today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope to get to the community and get to the society and pay my tax so the other people also can get help like the way I get it to come here.
Thank you.
Thanks
and
a lot.
If people are looking for an interpreter, how would they find you? Can you give your contact information?
My contact interpreter, for the interpreter, if you're looking for the interpreter over the phone, you can call us at 1-855-415-0767 or by going to our website. It is translateforme.net. There is the online request, and then there's a faxing. You can download the form and fax it for us, and then we'll send it to you.
And you can translate many languages, correct?
Yeah.
Not just the ones we mentioned, but you have 35 people on call to help
with
everything.
Yeah, we have a different dialogue.
Okay.
We have Arabic, we have a classic Arabic, we have Azande, Acholi, Nuer, Baria, and then we have Spanish, and we have a Cantonese, Rwanda, Kenya, Rwanda, Somali.
So you would put someone in need in touch with the interpreter they needed.
Yes.
I will put that information on the Facebook page as well in case people want to look that up and didn't have a pencil when they heard it.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Martin Sangoyo. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us. Can you introduce the song for our listeners?
Bob Marley, he said, everything will be all right. Because I believe on it. Everything, every little thing will be all right.
Ask for a little help and it'll all work out.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.